So, Dogen. I confess that Dogen is difficult for me at times, like all times. I look at each individual word and it makes perfect sense. And there's a sentence structure that's great. And then I think about, what did he just say? And to my great surprise, over the years, I am finding more and more that, yeah, he is actually saying something that applies to my life. I'm not talking about ritual, I'm not talking inside the Zendo. I'm talking about where the rubber hits the road. And right now, many of us are feeling an uncertainty and upset in these times. Some of us may be seeing the destruction of our worldview, of the political systems we rely on, and that we have relied on as something permanent. Yeah, we know about impermanence, but we tend to still look at large things as fixed at times. The view we are holding of our fellow human beings and the political system that we perceive as truth, what we perceive as truth or justice, may be shaken to the core. How do we practice in the middle of these tensions and arguments that even enter our families? How do we maintain ourselves and support our Sangha? And as Sangha, I don't mean the people inside this room, I mean the world. How can we hold on to an attitude that is aware of conditions and circumstances and yet not constantly pushed around by circumstance? You will find today that I don't have many answers, but I'm asking a lot of questions. A couple of months ago when we decided on this format, I decided on a title for the talk, Fukan Zazengi, Why Sit? So I will dive into it with many diversions and distractions here. Fukan Zazengi means recommending Zazen to all people, or universal recommendation for Zazen. It was written in the year 1233 by Ehe Dogen. Dogen was the founder of our Soto Zen tradition. He was born in Japan and originally practiced as a Tendai monk. He was a member of the Tendai sect. Tendai, interestingly, has the concept of original enlightenment. It says that all human beings are enlightened by nature and that, consequently, any notion of achieving enlightenment through practice is fundamentally flawed. And Dogen kept on asking one question. Tendai Buddhism maintains that human beings are endowed with Dharma nature by birth. If this is the case, why did all the Buddhas of all ages find it necessary to seek enlightenment and engage in spiritual practice? searching for this, for an answer to this, finally led Dogen to China. And he was very fortunate. He found a teacher, and his doubts were settled. After that, he returned to Japan and ended up founding the Soto Zen School. Dogen himself lived in politically difficult times. But he did not compromise in his understanding of the Dharma. His new school was based on sitting meditation, on Zazen. And he was uncompromising. He swam against the stream of a stagnated religious system. He undermined said religious establishment, which, therefore, was not exactly his friend. As a result, by the year 1243, Dogen had relocated his temple and his community to Echizen province, very far in the north, far away from Kyoto, which was the cultural, religious, and political center of Japan. There was the ongoing tension with the Tendai community and also a growing competition with the Rinzai Zen School. I have a couple of quotes from a different fascicle. The Bodhisattva's Four Methods of Guidance that might give a flavor of the strength of his persuasion and his attitude of practice. And so I just picked two quotes I really love. One is, "Thus you should benefit friend and enemy equally. You should benefit self and others alike." The other quote that is super relevant today, I keep on thinking about this a lot. "The mind of sentient beings is difficult to change." You should keep on changing the minds of sentient beings from the first moment that they have one particle to the moment that they attain the way. I feel terrible because we really don't have a lot of time for Dharma talk, and I keep on straying away from Fukan Zazengi. But it is so important to see Dogen as a human being, as a person who did seek in his practice, who was uncertain, who had doubt, who broke through and settled that great doubt. He lived in dangerous times of political upheaval. He persevered. He struggled with depression. He had a practice community. He bucked the system and came up with new ideas. Okay, now onward to Fukan Zazengi. It is an essay describing and promoting the practice of Zazen, recommending it to all people. It is a very basic Zazen instruction. It tells you what to do with your arms. It tells you what to do with your hands, your legs, your mind. We could study this for the rest of the year, not exhaust this text. However, it is only truly useful if we can find some angles to actually apply it to our Zazen practice. If we don't do that, then it's just an interesting piece of medieval literature. Originally, I wanted to discuss a couple of lines, often quoted and discussed, that remain a source of questions and sometimes confusion. These are the lines: "Think of not thinking. How do you think of not thinking? Non-thinking. This in itself is the essential art of Zazen. Remember when I said each word on its own makes perfect sense? But I realized that if we wanted to have a chance at all to understand a snippet more, it needed to be in a larger context. The first few lines we chanted this morning, Dogen says that the way is basically perfect and all-pervading. It's not dependent on practice and realization. We could stop there. But, you know, we're human. We always say more. So I tried to translate this into plain English. Came up with this. I hope Dogen meant this. So, here we go. This is how it is. And this is how we are. Now, can we drop all the stories in our mind and accept this? Can we see ourselves as sacred? Can I drop my conditioning and my ideas and call the world perfect? And see the practice as all-pervading. There is nothing outside of Zen. Let's just posit this for a moment. We do not need to be saved. We do not need to be redeemed. The truth of our lives lies right here, under our feet and all around us. Practice is everywhere at all times. The world is not in need of fixing. We do not need to put on a cape, get into savior mode, and run around full of anxiety and anger. However, Dogen also warns us, if there is the slightest discrepancy, the way is as distant as heaven from earth. If the least like or dislike arises, the mind is lost in confusion. What Dogen says here is, we're continuously off the mark as soon as we have opinions and likes and dislikes. So I looked into my mind and I found all that's in there is likes and dislikes. Yeah. So I recognize that this is the nature of mind. It strays. Thoughts arise because we are. It's the nature of consciousness and of being human. So if I summarize this in simple words, and I could totally be wrong, okay? Just remember that. We are absolutely perfect and sacred. Let that sink in for a minute. Also, with our grasping and ignorance and aversion, we're totally messed up all the time. This is where it gets really interesting. How can we live this question? Can we hold both our perfection and our messed upness equally without getting lost in good and bad? Concepts and desires and aversions are off. But how else can we be alive, experience love and loss? The tragedy would be trying not to feel. That would be the moment we lose our humanity. If you've practiced for some time, you know you can always throw up a wall and create distance between you and your feelings and what's happening. You can check out. We know how to do it. And don't be impressed by that, because that just means we're not practicing. It means we're building a wall between us and stuff. Our way is to turn toward that which is difficult and to become intimate with it and to see what is before us and all around us. Dogen says, you should therefore cease from practice based on intellectual understanding, pursuing words and following after speech, and learn the backward step that turns your light inwardly to illuminate the self. We project into the future. We ruminate about the past. We project. We wish. The backward step is actually something pretty simple. Drop it. Just let it go. Just let it be. And become aware of what is right here, right now. Unfortunately, I haven't even got to that sentence yet that I was going to talk about. So this is my big chance. Think of not thinking. How do you think of not thinking? Non-thinking. Sitting as an expression of awakening. We are already awakened and we don't know. So what can we do? We can sit. The mind's activity lies in projecting, daydreaming, planning. Stopping projections, stepping back, appreciating this moment, this activity, this breath, falling in love with life, with reality. Zazen can be seen as the reenactment of the Buddha's enlightenment. Our Zazen is not a tool, a means. If we do enough of it, we will awaken. Practice and enlightenment is the same thing. That is Dogen's great statement. Practice realization, not practice and realization. Practice realization. We are not sitting Zazen as a step in the process of waking up to be liberated at some future time. Now back to my favorite sentence here. How do you think of not thinking, non-thinking? What does it even mean? Let me unpack it quickly. It's difficult to define something through a negation. The non-hippo flew right by me and landed in a tree. Well, non-hippo does describe that red-tailed hawk, but it doesn't really help much. A lot of people assume they're not to have a single thought. But as we said before, our mind spews out all that stuff nonstop. Thoughts, opinions, pleasant, unpleasant. But we have influence on the thoughts. Yes, our mind thinks, but we can work with that. We can take each thought as a reminder to return to Zazen, to return to practice. Thoughts about self-concern, going down a well-trodden path, thoughts of what we want or don't want. each thought can be a reminder to return to the breath, to reality, to what we feel through our senses. Substituting self-concern with a clear commitment to being aware and to being present. We can declare this to be our intention. We are able to interrupt habitual thinking. We think, yes, we do. We cannot stop that. However, we can guide it towards a world, towards a way of supporting the world and sanity. I'm going to skip a little part here and jump to another passage. Traps and snares of our own conditioning, the walls we build trying to contain the world. We can just jump over it. Because, as Dogen says, once its heart is grasped, you are like the dragon when he gains the water, like the tiger when she enters the mountain. We chant that a lot. Let me read it a little bit differently. Once its heart is grasped, you are the dragon when he gains the water, and you are the great lord of the ocean. You are the tiger when she enters the mountain, owning it completely. Effort is required because we do need to show up. We need to show up for our life, to meet ourselves completely for our own authenticity.